topic tonight is the concept known as Nosa Ba'olim Chaveiroi. So Nosa Ba'olim Chaveiroi comes up in the parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu comes up a few places in the parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the base paro, goes out to Klal Yisrael. Vayetzei Lechov, he goes out to be with Klal Yisrael. Vayar B'sivul Som. Rashi says, Nosa Enav Libo, Elias Meitzerlem. He was focused on them. He could have sat very easily in his palace and, you know, did his own thing. Chazal say that he came to Paro and he said, you know, you have these people, you're not going to be able to survive if you don't give them some rest. And he convinced Paro to give him a day off, which it could be wasn't just rhetoric. I mean, it was probably true that they needed a day to recover. They might have, you know, he saved people's lives. He did plenty. But so it wasn't enough for him. He went out. Rashi says later on the use of the same lashon by Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Beyed Elokim. Rashi says Nosan Bereshim knew. Bereshim always knows. The Bereshim Nosan Einav Libo. The Bereshim, as it were, Kavi Yochel used his eyes and his heart to absorb Klal Yisrael's pain. So that same meter by Moshe Rabbeinu, you find Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Midian, and then there's these women over here which are being affected and are being attacked, and so he steps up and he cares them. He takes care of them. There's this Ish Mitzri, which is the Ish Ivri, and he doesn't just stand by. He does something about it. He has a meet of Nosar Olam Chaveiroi. Moshe Rabbeinu had two functions. Moshe Rabbeinu is the person who's going to be the person who's going to take Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim. He's going to do the process of Geula. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the individual who's going to bring Klal Yisrael to Matan Torah. So in some way, the purpose of Geula was not Geula for Geula's sake. It was Geula as a way to come to Matan Torah and replace the old which we had with Paro with the old that we had with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hallo Avdei Hashem. The goal wasn't to be free, right? The goal was to be Avod, but not Avdei Paro, but Avdei Hashem. So that's true that it was really one thing. But on the other hand, there are definitely different stages of what Moshe Rabbeinu had to do. And so we could see that it's very obvious that the connection between the idea of Nosa Ba'olam Chaveiroi is a criteria which is necessary to be able to be the Goel Yisrael, to be the individual who's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Well, if you care about your individuals, you have a right to be their leader. Right. But at first glance, the idea of how this connects to Moshe Rabbeinu's role as being the individual who's going to receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not as obvious. Maybe it's not true. It wasn't necessary for that part. We see Nosa Ba'olam Chaveiroi as being the foundation of Mitzvah Ba'olam Chaveiroi, or being the foundation or a foundation. It's foundational in regards to Ba'olam Chaveiroi. Is it to be understood as well in regards to Ba'olam Malkum? That's what I'm trying. I want to try and touch on tonight.
I understand the last sentence.
The last sentence is I'm going to try working on it tonight. That was the last sentence. You mean the sentence before the last sentence? Right? The sentence before the last sentence is that Moshe Rabbeinu had two roles.
So
is this idea of Nosa Ba'olam Chaveiroi necessary for the role of being the Mekabel Torah?
Yes.
So the answer is, the answer a little bit, I think, is going to lie in understanding Nosa Ba'olam Chaveiroi, why it's so significant, what it is, and then understanding, if I can be so bold as to say what was the purpose of Matan Torah. I thought that would be a very bold sentence, but let's see if we can do that. The first piece over here is a piece from Ali Shur. It's actually two pieces from Ali Shur. The first few pages, and then there's another from later on. Skip from Reish Nun Dal, it's Reish Samach Tes. It's a piece of Alishur. So Alishur Chelik Aleph. Alishur Chelik Aleph was written. The Sefer was written al pi Seder, which means he sees it as it's divided into four Sha'orim, and he sees the four Sha'orim where the different stages of a person's avoid the growth process, etc. So the first Sha'or is a young man comes into his own. He comes into the world of learning, and what does he need to accomplish, conquer, etc., to be able to be successful in that field. The next stage, he sees it as being deepening that understanding. The third stage, which he talks about, is seeing a person getting a bigger picture of understanding of himself, understanding of what the Torah wants of you, etc. The fourth section, which is the Sha'or Revi'i, is what the person is now. He's no longer a young man, he's a Tamachachim already, and now he's expanding. So there's going to be the first step is going to be Yisrael Bais. He's going to get married, he's going to establish a relationship with a wife and with children, and eventually he's going on to some level of responsibility in Klai Yisrael, whether he officially has a position, not officially has a position, but he's going to play a role in Klai Yisrael. Then he's going to what is that relationship vis-a-vis the world, etc. So the last Sha'or is as we're moving outwards. He said, "Beisoy derech kabbalas misra." He's getting a position. Adigilim majegas ish klal. He becomes the person who's ish klal. Halal kol elo tachanot shonot b'derech hakayim. Then the person will go through the stages. He talks about mavis. He talks about these. Seeing in his lifetime the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all of the stages of life a person going to experience at this mature level. It's a process moving outwards. Lori Zekarizep, each one has its own issues. What they do have in common is Shalkulan Ululahi Sareya Shigra Mitzanashim Lamoda. Eventually, these things can just become habitual. However, hamuka b'yoser, the deepest love, hamitzvah haroma b'yoser, the highest calling, hamasima ha'anala b'yoser, kol olam meshach hashanim lehaper hergel. It can just become that's your custom. However, becomes an adibus adisha, just like a lack of interest. My job, as opposed to a calling, now it's a job with no neshama inside of it. I'm a sima of the pranasa. Right? It's a source of pranasa. Right? I became a rebbe because right. I went into this field because I wanted to help people. I became a doctor. I wanted to help people. Right? That's why I became a doctor. But 20 years later, you're exhausted. You're keeping the job because you got to support your family. Right? You lose your freshness. Shigrazu hisnavnusi umisa ruchnis. This becomes it, the person is withering inside. How do we overcome this element of hergel, which is going to kill us? It's going to take out the emotions, the excitement, the interest, the care, the feelings which will energize me. How are we going to keep alive? Okay, so he says the solution is Noisa Bolam Chaveru. So wow, this is the key, right? Yeshem Shei Afan Sabadidis. The person is in a state of being by himself. I need time for myself to focus inwards, understand myself, connect, etc. But that's not our point right now. Person has in some way received some element of challenge. he's ill, he's has some other type of challenge. And he has no ability to overcome it. It doesn't go. Sometimes it's more painful than it is the Yisurim. The fact that I feel different. I feel I'm not part of the world anymore. I feel like sort of like stepped out. As long as I'm living normally, person feels good. We enjoy having companionship. When he doesn't feel part of the group anymore because they don't understand what I'm going through. I feel so all alone. It rips him out of that relationship. Okay. Any burden that a person is going to live through, besides the burden, creates this feeling, this deep feeling of loneliness. It doesn't always happen in terrible ways. He feels he doesn't have a way to he's not growing. Or Bagashmi is Menevakim Kabula of Hatsarim Limidah. He feels like he's limited more than he wants to if he died to. Gamzer Seva Rusruach, it's a feeling of difficulty. Medidas and Roy, you feel like, you know, cut out the Seva Tamidi, Shamisha Pogo, Yadal Akim, Chazaka Rahmanistan, Elf Alfe Dargashai, Medidas Ayuma, Belome Shalakarachaner. There's thousands of Madragas of this pain. Maskila David Beyosib Amora Tvil, he's in a cave. So the idea of a cave feels like this, like he's outside of society, all by himself in a cave. Nobody understands me. Nobody's makir. I have no any person who understands me. Nobody cares about me. I feel like I'm in a mask. I feel like I'm imprisoned. This is David Melech's description of what it means being in a difficult situation. He feels like he's in this subterranean darkness. He feels totally, totally imprisoned in this pain. Somebody pushes himself in there to carry the burden with him. He feels the pain. To bear the burden. He's burdened with harassment, so you understand where he's coming from. So the person is no longer alone. The more it says that he takes away a 60th, he's using it as an idiom. It's not sure, you change his life. There's somebody who cares, somebody who understands, somebody who gets it. And I don't feel alone anymore. I don't feel that. So that's a tremendous this person does it. He's able to really connect. He has the key to life. Because this is the true vision of what the world is supposed to look like. So when we don't feel that, he's saying we're living in a counterfeit world. Right? Our perception of the reality of the world why? And he gives it, you see the brush of has the same function. But then he says, skip down to the paragraph. Okay, now you said Hashem's the whole mitzvah ben olam chaveru who ze l'rak lehetiv l'imnoi anezik. It's not just to help, not to save, protect. Al losses leiv l'isparim b'sarazim. Understand what they're going through. L'lo halamayim. Don't ignore. As a koma kibba, it applies to everybody. As the osher b'sani kedin makev enam adalagal osher k'nheshu b'peker b'sani. People, Hashem have plenty of difficulties in their life. It's a chayv, it's a mobis, it's a mace, kolochas avelis, enel halochas of hagoshim, matzav shal nifter, and it's a matzav shal din shemayim, oyer menorah. There's a Yerushalmi, which is mashal, that the yisod of avelis is to feel with the pain of the nifter as he's going through the steps of the process of the din after a person passes away. Kishlobi hadin, kacham avelis, yamakaburah, is me the rice to shiva shloishim shan rishona amalav is a nifter but kol matzav mishal din menoisim itoy mishtadim lahokal lestino bedrochim mishal broma zaka abba v'kadayim. Okay, so he says that not only is it negay to the ben amalav eroi, the tefillah is many parts of the tefillah are about the Bereshim. We feel the pain of the Shechina. We feel the Bereshim's limitation. He feels limited. He's not, the world's not the way he wants it to be. We daven that we're noisy ba'olam with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's feeling the pain of not being able to bring the world to where he wants to. Bereshim, please get there. This is a Reb Chaim Volozhin who says the person supposed to daven. Ikar tefillah is all tzar Shechina. Reb Chaim Volozhin says. I mean, it's not our standard thought process what tefillah is about. But that's what he says. He says, "Lo rak betfila." The next page, "Ela b'chol hanagasei." Everything that he does, "Kol asher yida yigadol lahodam tigadol dagasei l'chvay shemaim." V'kachan yisnag shemaisav tzenusav yitz l'chvay shemaim. He cares about the Baruch Hu. He wants the should be more covered the shemaim. That true avoda is that in every way that you express every expression of your lips, whatever you look at, whatever you do, the foundation, but his crown, the good, the main thing, the whole purpose. The person will find that life is about giving back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says but he sees it in the sense of feeling about the Baruch Hu, feeling with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so kim but noisa barley mkwit shemayim, ve'elohen kol hichos kiddush mechil Hashem. Okay. So his point is going to be that the process of a marriage is to be noisa b'olam chaverah, which means to learn to understand somebody else. The process of being a parent is to learn to understand them, their needs, care about them, worry about them. But it's not just imposing upon them what I think is important, because then I'm seeing I'm seeing myself. I'm understanding them. That's a nice bow. And then I can move on to do that process as a member of Kli Yisrael. I can do that for the world. And then I can go through the. It's an expansion of the Ani. He's going to say later on an idea that. He says this idea that the Shir Das has the same piece, same idea. That he was once discussing this issue. You have a conflict many times between your personal growth and the helping other people. He says that question is only rooted in the fact that you see yourself as being distinct from them. But when you see yourself that you're a knee, your being is expanded to include them. So there's no steer. Now that. In our minds, it doesn't answer the question. Okay, so what am I supposed to do? The answer is because we don't understand what we're talking. We don't understand what those words mean, right? I see myself very distinct, and I have my needs, and I have my growth, and I have my goals, and I have my plans, and I understand I have responsibility to help you. So that's there's me and there's you. There's an ani and there's you. So that I have a stira. Right? But if I see, right, the husband comes along and says, let's say the husband, husband and a wife, or parents and a child, listen, kid, I love you very much, But I have so many plans, I didn't want to do that. You know, so, you know, you see your child in some ways as an extension of yourself. You don't see, take care of your child as a steer it to yourself. You understand, that's part of you. So what about your neighbor? What about the guy? What about the guy that you see in the shul? What about the Klai Yisrael? That's what we should be holding, but we're not there, right? So, see, he has this idea that you're not going to understand the world. You're not going to understand what's really going on in the world unless you're nice about. There's a word from. It's the same with Taras of Rome. I mentioned the Taras of Rome to you before. Taras of Rome was written by a person named Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski. Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski was the last Mashgiach of Slobodka. He was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shmom, Shem Yikam Domoy. He's maybe more well known to us through his sons-in-law. One of his sons-in-law was Rav Volba. One of his sons-in-law was Rav Kreisworth. One of his sons-in-law was Rabbi Yama Kamenetsky. So those are names which are maybe more well known to us than his name. Mm-hmm. He wrote a sefer called Taras of Rome. Rav Volba, you know, suggests learning it, etc. It is the most delicious sefer that you ever learn. It's not easy reading, but the ideas are such fascinating ideas, the way he presents something. So I'm going to tell you two pieces from him. There's a halacha that a person who is I'm dropping the words right now. Mafricha yoyna man Pesach b'kuvya is postulators. Right, Tamora has two children. Why is he postulators? Tamora says he's postulators because it's stealing. Behold, asmat lekanya. He's stealing. Tamora says no. It's not considered stealing. The problem is that he's not Isaac Yeshua Shalom. He won the lottery. He's not just sitting and enjoying himself. He's not involved in any way in developing the world. Okay. So he says, we find that a person who's a deaf mute, he might have a trend as IQ, but he's not considered bardas. What's the pshat? He says that you understand that when a person lives within his own Dalet Amos, because he cannot communicate, because he's a deaf and a mute, his understanding is limited to his own being. And there's no one human being who can understand the world. When he's part of a greater reality, that's when he starts to become the madrega of understanding things. The shear for Chiyah Mitzvah is not Chochmah. The Vilna Goyim, when he was 9 years old, you know, was already was smarter than I will ever be when I'm 95 years old. It's not Chochmah, it's Das. Das is a certain level of understanding. Right? There's Chochmah being Das. Chochmah is knowledge. I have knowledge. So the Vilna Goyim is 10 years old, have more knowledge than I have. Okay, I have no problem saying that. Probably true. There's Bina, which is understanding, which means I don't have knowledge, but I understand it, which means I can apply it to new scenarios. I get the rules. I understand the logic behind it, etc. So I can extrapolate, etc. That's Bina. Then there's Das. Das is the Mida that you connect to it. It becomes part of your being. You really get it. You really absorb it. It becomes, it's not just I have a concept, but now it just comes to the point where it's almost like it's natural. It's part of me. That's what you're chayav mitzvahs. You're bar das. So he can't do that because he's limited in his understanding, because understanding needs to understand the world around him. So Zuck, the Mishnah, Masach B'Kuvya, because he's not able to be Shiva Shalom, he doesn't understand the world. So how can he be an aid? He has no idea what happened. He can tell you facts. But what really happened? I have no idea what really happened. Because I don't see the world with the same eyes as the rest of the world. That's the Mora is saying. That if you're not truly connected to the reality around you, right, this is the challenge that you have, you know, when you have, you know, somebody who went through one path in life is giving suggestions, directions, advice, decisions, for people who have a totally different reality of life. How can you do that? How can you make decisions for them? You don't understand their life. So you say, okay, you know, I know better, right? Because I've learned so much. Really? Right? The Mora says that Ramil came after the whole story, whether he came to ask Mechila. He says, I see from your the walls of your house that Bechomiyato, your business is that you would sell charcoal. He says, woe to the generation that their leader has no idea. Now you find out what I do in my life. Where have you been till now? Woe to the generation that you're just now finding out after you've been in the Nasi for so many years what your colleagues in the base matter, how they support themselves. Well, I don't have any problems. I'm part of the base on over here, Got a panosa from Klal Yisrael, I work my kishkas out. Right? You don't understand where I'm coming from. You can't really understand me. So how can you make decisions for me? But more than that means you're missing a whole facet of understanding of life that you don't have, that I have. Narsimal Khabera means I can absorb your understanding as well. I can see the world through your eyes. I tell you, that's the challenge of my wife and I. When we were I mentioned this to you, we in Dayton, Ohio, we did a seed program 2 years in Dayton, Ohio. So the Rav who arranged it, in Shark Sign, is not there in Dayton anymore. He's in Los Angeles now. So he asked us, would we mind doing a session on Shalom Bayis? I said, 100% Shalom Bayis. So we get there, there's this big sign, Shalom Bayis, there's this big sign that we're doing this session, and we're doing it in some newly neophytes, prune couples' home, and they're inviting all of their friends over for this session, they're not even prune yet, etc. And this rabbi and this, and the rabbit, the rabbits, are going to come along, and they're going to give this session on love Jewish style. That was the title. It's like, whoa. A free-willing discussion of everything you want to know about love, marriage, and love, dating, and marriage. Like, whoa, we're in trouble. My wife said, I looked at that. That's not exactly what we agreed to. He was very good about doing this type of stuff. So I said, what the people are going to bring up, we weren't necessarily comfortable talking about, especially in, public forum. So we said, we need to, sometimes the best defense is a good offense. Like, we better come in there with the plan. So we said, we came in, we walked in, and we gave everybody, got a little piece of, got a card with a pencil. I said, okay, you have these, you go to the store, you have something called happiness is, and .. And it says, everybody, Rabbi, everybody here, marriage is, fill in the card. Everybody has 3 minutes, what do you think marriage is? So we gave a card out to everybody. Everybody had to fill in what they think marriage is. Good. After 3 minutes, we collected the cards and we went through the cards, etc. And then we gave our answer what we think marriage is. And our answer was that marriage is an opportunity for growth. Why? Because the Mithil Yos says that the world is divided between two groups, the people which are givers and people which are takers. And he says, and there's no being that you will ever have great opportunity to be a giver to than your wife or your husband, because you're with them 24/7, you're with them all the time. And the Baruch Hashem, in his wisdom, gives you somebody who's quite different than you. And so what are you giving them? Are you giving them time? Yes, you're giving them time. You're giving them money? You're giving them money. What are you giving them? So the most intrinsic thing that you're giving them is you're giving them your mind. Because we all, we're not so smart. We all know we're not the smartest people in the world. And we all say that very humbly, and we mean it. But deep down, we believe that we probably see the world right. Comes along, this person says, no, you saw it all wrong. This is what you're supposed to see the world. And you have this conversation, the husband's very logical, let's say, and the wife's, and he said, come on, ridiculous. The real way to see it is the way I'm seeing it. She has a problem. She's emotional. Maybe you got it all wrong. Maybe she's right, the right way to see the world, and you're wrong. That's what marriage gives you. It gives you the opportunity to see the world through somebody else's eyes and realize that you don't know everything. And there's another way to see the world which is just as valid as yours. And that's quite a challenge. That's marriage. It blew their minds that they never thought of marriage like that. I mean, I talked to Chassanim and they have no idea what I'm talking about, because, yeah, of course, you respect your wife, I said the biggest foundation of marriage is not just respect as a person, respect for the other person's mind, respect for the other person's understanding, the other person's views, and respect them with just as, they're just as valid as yours. So maybe the true way to see the world is through emotions, and logic is not the right way to see the world. I don't know. How do you know? No, it's not logical. That's circular reasoning. Because since you're so used to seeing it this way, you assume that's the right way to see it.
You're using logic. You're using logic to support emotion.
What?
You're using logic, circular reason, to support emotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's very clever.
the seeing thing through the empathy and through the power of empathy and feeling allows you to see layers and layers and layers of reality which you didn't see before. So there's another way of seeing the world. That's what Nois HaBa'ol means. Nois HaBa'ol means I see the world through your eyes. Now, it's somewhat possible in Nois HaBa'ol, he writes in one place, he says, you find the Bachrim have a tremendous simcha b'yachasna. Like more than married guys, the young light. He says, why? Because Bachrim need to get married. So they feel that pain, and therefore they feel the excitement of what it means to get married. Your mom's married already, so he doesn't feel the pain anymore. So he's not so excited when somebody gets married. So he becomes a father, and he has to deal with the pain of his kids not getting married, you know? Right? So the end of it, you're just seeing yourself. He says, so it means like this. The bottom line is, I can relate to my challenges, I understand, and I'm nice enough to notice them by you also. But your challenges, I have no idea what they are. I come with a different background. I can't relate to yours. I only can see the world through my eyes. So that's not Nois HaBa'ol and Chaveira. I mean, it's so much rega of it. But to truly see the world through somebody else's reality, which I have no shaychus to, that's the madrega. Then I see a whole new world which I didn't know existed beforehand. So how are you supposed to understand Torah, which addresses everything, when we'll put numbers on it, but numbers, I don't really mean the numbers. It's like if there are potentially 1,000 different life experiences which a human being will go through, the Torah addresses all of them. And every mitzvah, and every hanhaga, and every mitzvah, in some way, is helping us deal with these issues. I personally have experienced 50 of them. So I can look at the Torah and see the inside. The Torah is saying, but for my experiences, and the Torah is, I can through thinking about it, I can understand the Torah is addressing my issue. And deep down in this mitzvah, there's this lesson, this message, this strength, etc., which helps me deal with the situation. So I've understood now 50 out of 1,000. So I don't understand Torah. I'm not Morris Gomer. I'm not really understanding what the Torah is saying. I'm understanding from my little limited viewpoint. I'm understanding that. So how can you give over the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the person who's going to be makabel all the Torah and pass it on to Klal Yisrael, unless he's able to see everybody else's situation. From that vantage point, now I can get all of it. I think I shared this mindset with you with the Square Rebbe. Okay. I'll tell you two personal mises with the Square Rebbe. The relationship between Tells and the Square is, Rishiva one time told me, Rigifta one time told me, says that he holds the Square Rebbe. The Square Rebbe was came to Rebbe very young, so I mean, very, fairly young. His father was Nifter, and he was still a young man. And he took over the keel, etc. And Rigifta said that he holds him, even though he was much younger. There was, probably a 35, 40 year gap between the two of them. But that being, besides that being, there's a few, my Rebbe, Shalom Shapiro, was my Rebbe in Tells, he's a Square Chassid. And there's another person who lives in Cleveland, though, named Getzel Fried. You better get Getzel, right? Getzel, you have. Succeeded, she lives in the Yeshiva Lane, he's tremendous. If you ever been there for davening, there's a person crying over there on the side during Shemoneh Esrei. It's a Getzel Fried. Okay, not Shmuel doesn't. He's not crying. He's okay. Getzel Fried is a Square Chassid. He learns and tells, but he used to live in Square. After his marriage, they moved to Square, and they came back to Cleveland eventually. But so there's traffic back and forth. So we decided, I'll tell you one cute story. We decided to go there for a summer, to spend a summer our summer vacation was to go spend 2 weeks in Square. This is in 1986. So I personally have to tell you that, as far as I'm concerned, the vacation spot of America for Yid is New Square, New York. The kedusha and the purity, the rain kite which is there was tremendous. Some other stories, whatever. We went into the Rebbe. We got married in 83. It was already 3 years, almost 3 years, and they didn't have children yet. So we went to the Rebbe to talk over. We were looking at some different things, some testing, etc. And we went to discuss it with the rabbi. Similarly, there was a fight between my wife and myself that my wife wanted to schedule it for the day after Yom Kippur. This way it wouldn't stir my zman, and I was not happy that, and therefore would be able to be done over Ben Zman and whatever had to be done, and my zman would not be affected. And I was not comfortable with my wife undertaking this procedure the day after Yom Kippur. So I was saying we should do it, either during this month or later in the Beit HaZman. My wife is saying, no, it's better for my learning. We do it right away after Yom Kippur. So that was the fight. The Rebbe sided with my wife. We went to Shiva Chaim afterwards, and we said that he also sided with my wife. They both decided with the side of my wife, which that was part of my experience in my life. They always decided with my wife. Okay, so there was the medical issues were more significant than we originally thought, and I'm not getting involved in details, but much more significant than we really thought. There was health issues. It was Kitzer. My wife is in the hospital 3 times from that till Pesach. The third time was over Pesach Ben Zman. She's very good. She waited to Ben Zman to go to the hospital for me. She was in the hospital, so she came out for the storm. Emergency developed. She went back into the hospital Motzei Yom Tov. It's now Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed. I'm sitting in the hospital, and there's a surgery scheduled for Shabbos Chol HaMoed. I got a phone call from a person in Cleveland Heights. They got a phone call from the Gabbai in New Square. That the Rebbe asked the Gabbai to call this person in Cleveland Heights that he knew to get in touch with me, because he had no way to get in touch with me, to give me the phone number of the Hatzolah in Square. Because during the surgery, there's going to be a question how to proceed, and I'm going to need to discuss it with somebody, I can call the phone number Hatzolah, which is answered on Shabbos. We'll get a message to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe will give me his opinion. Now, if the picture, I went to the Rebbe. I'm like this Litvak guy who came in one time to the Rebbe the summer before. I'm not his chassid. He's Yom the Roim alone. They estimate 10,000 people go to visit the Rebbe, and this is already Pesach time, right? And I sent the message to the Rebbe and he is busy thinking about how can he help this fellow over there who's going to be sitting in the hospital by himself, worrying about what to decide. How can he help him? And halachically would be, deal with the halachic ramifications. That's story number one. Story number two. So this is we went back to the Rebbe in 1987. So we were by the Rebbe twice, 86 and 87. 2004, 17 years later, Remendowitz takes the 8th grade boys for a Shabbos to New Square, which he does regularly. So this is one of the first times he had done it. And once the Shabbos, they arranged through the person who was making the arrangement that all the boys would get to have a time to talk to the Rebbe. So the boys all meet with the Rebbe, and then Rebbe sits down with the Rebbe Mendelwitz. He wants to hear about the yeshiva, you know. So how many boys it has? Again, he gave a donation for the yeshiva. Nice donation for the yeshiva. So Rebbe Mendelwitz comes back Monday morning. He says, "Eli, what's your shaychus to the Square Rebbe?" I said, "I don't know, what do you mean?" He says, "Like, you know, I visited the Square Rebbe twice in my life in 1986, 1987. He says, "Well, I was sitting with the Rebbe Motzi Shabbos, and we're going through the names of the Rebbeim and the yeshiva. And I go through, says, and I mentioned Eli Rangel. Says the Rebbe says, I have a Adidas with a Eli Rangel." He says, "What's your shaykhus?" He says, "I have no idea. Like, you know, I saw him 17 years ago." He says he has the Adidas with Eli Rangel. Okay. So I decided that you can't not visit a Yadid. So Thanksgiving weekend, we went up to Monte for Shabbos. And Thursday night, I went into Rebbe to visit. And I'm a Litvak, so this is a chutzpah. You should never do this by Rebbe. I went into the Rebbe, and we spoke a little bit. And I asked Rebbe if he remembered why I came 17 years beforehand. And he did. That's what it means, Noshav Olam Chaver. Like, total giving over his being to somebody else's. How do you remember? I remember what my wife said to me half an hour ago. Because she's her and I'm me, and I'm more important. And I was, you know, not thinking about it. But if you're the most important person in the world, I'm not going to forget what you said. If what you say is more important to me than myself, I'm looking at the world through your eyes. How can I forget what you said? I spent 17 years, and meanwhile, we met a million people. So what? That person can understand what the Baruch Hashem wants. We are limited in our understanding. That's what I would suggest. Okay. That's the story that I told you. It talks about what it means to be a Talmid Chacham, a Man of Yisrael, etc. He just has one kenach that, you know, the Baruch Hashem does this. And the Baruch Hashem, if you look at the Shasha Midas Rachamim, they're talking about the Nosei Olam V'Fesha V'Chatoa. They're all about being soibel, the Chayte. Even if this guy that you are being Nosei Olam Chaver with is a Chayte, You gotta relate to him. He's not perfect. He's got problems. He's taka a nudge. Healy Spiro told me a story. I don't remember all the details of the story, but kids said that apparently there's an individual which came to Healy to discuss something with him, or called him up to discuss something with him, and the fellow was a nudge. Absolute nudge. Why did he come to him? Because Healy is very close to the Shmuel. You know, so apparently this person knows Shmuel, and Shmuel indicated that Healy would be able to help him. But the guy drove Healy crazy. So next time he was in Philly, he asked Shmuel, like, "How do you deal with this?" He says, "Healy, how many times did he call?" He says, "He called him one time." I said, "How long?" "For an hour, whatever it was." He says, "You know that he calls me every single day? For 20 minutes and half an hour, wasting my challenge of my time?" He says, "So what do you do?" He says, "I'm nice to him and I listen to him." Like, it's easy to be Nosei Olam Chaver with, you know, with this nice, wonderful, you know, right? But this nudge, you're driving you crazy every single day, every single day. I mean, you know, we would throttle the guy, Chas V'Shalom, like, every single day, you know. Rishmuel Kamenetsky has nothing else to do in the world but to listen to this fellow every single day. Chew off his ear for half an hour. Okay, that's not even a Veiris. What about the Baal of Veiris? That's the connection which he adds over here. I want to add, you know, I'm not going to do it. There's a Revolver writes in one place that v'yichin shom yisok neged rahor. So Chazal say darshan v'yichin lashon yochid ki shechad b'lei v'chod. See, this is a fascinating lashon. He says that that everything whenever I give you something, you need a keli to hold it. You need to go to the store. You need a bag to carry it. I give you wine. You need a barrel. You always need something to hold something. You need a keli to hold it in. Torah also needed a keli. The keli of the Torah is Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael is able to be makabel the Torah. He says, "How big is that keli? All of the neshamas of Klai Yisrael, all of the hearts of Klai Yisrael together. When Klai Yisrael is kishah rabalei bechor, then they can makabel the Torah because now they have a keli which is big enough. As long as they're the katata, there's no keli to makabel the Torah. That's what he writes. It's a beautiful thought. What it means, I have no idea." Like, what does that mean in reality? Like, what is he really saying? But a little bit, I think that's what we're trying to remember now. But when I can relate to experiences which I never experienced, I don't know what it means to have lived through illness. I don't know what it means to live through poverty. I never experienced myself. So how am I supposed to say, I understand what I've lived through? I can sort of picture in my mind the pain, the challenge, and what does it mean that a person is an almana? What does it mean a person is divorced? What does that mean? What does that pain feel like? I can say words, but I really understand what it's like. How am I supposed to do that? But there's some people who could. The scary Rebbe has a brother-in-law, married Rebbe's sister. It's the son-in-law of the previous Rebbe. His name is the Rachma Shivka Rebbe. He's also Tversky. Tversky married a Tversky. My wife and I went to him for a bracha. We went at the insistence of Rebbe Getzel Fried. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "I'll tell you one story, and you'll tell me whether you want to go to him or not." A woman came to the Rebbe. She had been diagnosed with cancer, three young children, and she was not going to. There was like no, she's not going to survive. So she went to the Rebbe for bracha, for chizuk, for etzes, etc. The Rebbe spent time with her and discussed with her, and etc. Then after the woman left, the Rebbe went to the bathroom and he threw up. He was so sick that he threw up his breakfast. He says, you want to go to a person who's going to get sick and you're tzaros. He never lived through that sorrow, but he's able to relate to the point that he got sick from it. There's a ma'aseh of the Rishach. That Rishach, his wife had passed away many years before. There was a boker would stay with him and would prepare his meal and bring him breakfast and bring him his meal. So there's a new boker who got the job. And the previous boker explained to him exactly how to make the food that the Rishach wanted, etc. He makes the food and he brings it, and the Rishach says, "No, not now." He looks at the food, "It's not now." The guy said something along the way, "Make the food." So he comes back a few minutes later, he says, "No, not now." Probably after like 20 minutes, half an hour, he says, "Okay, now I can eat." So, like, the bacher didn't say anything, but he was like confused, like, what's it, So Rishach chaf to the bacher and says, "I see you're confused. Let me explain to you." He says, "Every morning at 8:30 in the morning, whatever the number is, right, all of the children in Israel go to school. There's 1 million children in Israel, and most of them are going to schools which are going to teach them Rabbi courses. How am I supposed to eat breakfast when that's happening? There's a million little children going to be taught the sheker and abi courses. How can I eat breakfast?" So Reb Ruvain said the destruction of America, there's two quotes I heard from him. The destruction of America was the radio, he said, because the radio, everything's explained. You know, there was this sorrow that happened. I'll explain to you why it happened. Socioeconomic reasons why it happened. So there's no God anymore. So the second issue is because in America, you eat your newspaper, you read your newspaper over breakfast. So you're sitting and eating, having a nice big coffee with a nice big cinnamon bun, reading about this guy who was shot, and about the people who were killed in the cyclone over there, people whose their homes were destroyed in the volcano over there, and you're reading your cinnamon bun and your coffee. And says, that's it. That destroyed. We destroyed all human emotions. For another human being's tsar. Now, it's also for a person's simple. The person's. It's not a question of tsar or simple. It's anything the person is experiencing. Can you experience it? Can you see the world through his eyes? When he's happy, when he's sad, when he feels accomplished, when he feels frustrated. Can you see the world through your children's eyes? Do you understand? Rabbi Anki Horowitz says to the Gemaisel. So he deals with teenagers, at, you know, children at risk. That's his. I mean, he has a school besides, but he has, you know, which a lot of things he learned from dealing that he puts into the school that they shouldn't have. So there was a situation with a father, the child was at risk, you know, and. The father, you know, he's working with the boy. He says, it's time to meet with the father. So the father, you know, has different concerns. He says, well, so before you ask, you raise your concerns, etc. I want to ask a question. What's your son's favorite food? Says, I don't know. What's your son's favorite drink? I don't know. What are the names of your son's friends? I don't know. So you don't think about your son. So how can you discuss with me what you want for your son? You don't understand him. You don't think about him. So you have homework. I want you to come back in a week from now with knowing to answer these questions. And the next week, you have more homework. Like, if you're not seeing the world, his world, you don't see the world that he lives in, how can you make decisions for him? And we do it all the time. Right? So we don't realize how limited our view is. There's a whole new world which exists. The meaningless world of Tabera is pushed. It's a mind-boggling thing. Torah, the mitzvah of the Talmud Torah is given b'shinatam l'vanecha. That's the pasuk. It doesn't say learn Torah. It says teach Torah. Torah is to be communicated. Torah means that the your set of Torah is not just because when you we have this wonderful thing called chavrusa. You learn Torah by chavrusa. You learn Torah with somebody else is going to see the Gemara different than you. The Bedav can learn it in such a way that there's somebody else telling you you're wrong. There's another way of seeing it. And now all of a sudden you realize there's another way of seeing the Gemara. You say, okay, you know, maybe I got it wrong. He got it right. The Rishon Lezion writes that the Emes HaLimud HaTorah is the first stage is that when you're talking about, you know, a person knows how to learn. You've thought through when you came up with this is Pshat Gemara. You thought your Gemara says you're wrong. Says, don't give in. Answer his question. That clarifies. The more you work through, etc., you clarify, etc., and you know, and be adamant. No, I believe what I'm saying is right. I thought it out. I thought it's right. And here's why I think I'm right. I'll answer your question. No, but what this? Okay, you're right. So I have to hone it a little better. Okay, let's hone it like this. Oh, that doesn't work. Let's try this. It's a tremendous, you know, clarifying process. The question and answer clarifies. This is what do you do after all the hour back and forth? You realize that your ego says right and you're wrong. So your ego says, "I'm not going to say that." You say, "I hear." He says, "No." You say, "Thank you so much for teaching me the Emes." Because it wasn't about me. It wasn't about you. It was about the Emes of Torah. So yes, the Rosh Hashanah gave me my viewpoint to force me to work as hard as I can to see. The Rosh Hashanah made me this way for a reason. I have a certain way of looking at something. That's my strength. So let's see. Maybe the more challenging you can give me, the more I can clarify exactly what my position should be. But it turns out it's wrong. I said, Rosh Hashanah, now I know the right. I know what the emphasis is. Very hard. the kuna of the Noisim El Chaver means, what's the problem? Of course. I don't see you as a separate, distinct entity from myself. We came to the Emes. Not because, Mela, it's not steered to my guy, but because, like, there was Gaiva to start with. The reason why I was Adam and not become a Balgaiva, I understand that the Russian made me a certain way because that gives me a certain insight. And from that insight, I think I understood something which maybe you don't understand. Let me see if I can convince you and explain it to you why that's important. Because that's a valid point also. But now that it's not, so then it isn't. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Noisim El Chaver is one of the Mimchas Devar Shatar Niktas Behem. Because without it, the next one is Mamido Le'emis, Machir Le'chavstus. So the Mefarshim Lord is not talking about, you know, talking about mitzvahs and averus. It's talking about within learning. You're going to help the person, because I'm Noisim El Chaver, I'm going to help the person see the emes when that's relevant. And, you know, the flip side would be, he'll do the same thing for me. And that's how Torah is Niktas, because it's not just about me. It's how can I get, how can I communicate to you my position? If I can't, then I'm not truly learning, because I'm not truly sharing. And the true understanding of the reality will only be, the more it says that Cherevel Abadim, the Cherevel Sinem to come, and the more it calls them that they learn Torah by themselves, that deserve to have a sword on their head. The more calls them sonim. They're sonim of the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham learns by himself is a sonim. Like, whoa, I'm not a sonim. I love to be a Chacham. Okay. The Morel says that word in his own Kenech. He says that Torah is a cloud, and only a cloud can absorb a cloud. That, you know, again, I don't think I understand it 100%, because I think you need to know a drag of beyond where I'm at to understand it. But this Lakuta, that if we would see that every member of Klal Yisrael has what to contribute in an insight and an understanding, there's nobody that you can be mevasa, Misha says. Because everybody has his moment. Everybody has what to offer. Everybody has what to contribute to the world. Everybody has an understanding, an insight, a purpose, a goal, a function, which without him the world doesn't work. So haki basachal adam. And that means that in every which way, I am a Talmud. I need them. But I can't get what they have to offer if I'm not going to be makabel. And the impediment to that is, okay, last thought. I'm going to tell you two veritluch from Rabbi Ram Grzinski. The second one is in the sixth parsha. It's going to sound like a distinct, independent thought at the beginning, and it will be. Eventually, I'm going to tie it in. It says Sefer Shmos is called Sefer. It's the Sefer of Geula. It's referred to by the Rishonim as Sefer of Geula. I mentioned to you, by the way, just one time. I mentioned that, you know, the names which the Latin names of the Chumashim are much more matim to how Chazal saw them. Chumash Bekudim is called numbers. Chazal called Chumash Bekudim. Taurus Kahanim is the Lords of the Leviticus. Exodus is Sefer Geula. Gracious is Sefer Yetzirah. Deuteronomy means Mishnah Torah. Mishnah, second Torah. Deutero is two, and Nomi is law. So those names fit very much with the names which we have, or Masar, what they are. Calling it Gracious, Shmois, Yikra, Vindu, Devorim is just like words. So it's Sefer Geula. So Sefer Geula, yeah, Sefer Geula. You know, Shmois at the end, this is the Geula starts, then, you know, Ve'era, Boy, B'shalach, and then there's Matan Torah, which is the culmination of the purpose. Then the Mishkan, which was like bringing Bereshim to dwell in Klal Yisrael, that's the final parts of the Geula. Fine. What about the first half of Shmois about the Shibur? At first glance, I mentioned that's just for the contrast. That's what you have to be niggle from. It's not Geula. He said that's not true. That's Geula. Says why? There's a fascinating Gemara that had, and the Gemara says there was a conversation between Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus was the Roman emperor. Antoninus asked Rebbe, at what point does the Yetzer Hara enter into the child as he's being formed? In the moment of conception or the moment of Yetzirah, when the child leaves its mother's stomach? So Rebbe said the moment of Yetzirah, the moment of conception. He says it can't be, and Antoninus says, because Im Kein Brebbe, Mabbe Yartse, he'll kick through the mother's womb and it'll come out. So Rebbe said, you're right. It's when the child is born, because otherwise earlier it wouldn't play out well. And that's the puzzle of the Pesach Chatas Rebbe. At the moment of the Pesach, when the child comes out, that's when the Yetzer Hara is waiting there to enter into the child. Ad Kan the Gemara. So Ram says, let's think about this Gemara. Let's understand this Yetzer Hara. So we say in the Gemara something like this. If the child would have a Yetzer Hara, he would burst through and come out. So the Yetzer Hara is coming to the child and selling. He's making a sales pitch. Listen, okay, let's go. Time to go. That's exciting. Let's push out and go. What's the sales pitch? It's not great in here. Really? Because I'll say the Moran Nida says that there's no moments of a child, of a human being's life, as good as those moments in the child inside the mother. Eeyore says, I remember those days, because I'll say there's the Enlecha Shah, that Adam is Betoyver, that the person is in a good situation comparable to that those moments. Right? Pranosa needs, no, Pranosa, mother takes care of everything. Right? Okay. Maybe there's something outside. Child comes out early, he dies. See, so a circle and says, listen, here's that. It's the best time of your life. Oh, what are you thinking? You're come out, you're going to die. Let's go. And Marissa, yeah! Oh, jump out. Like, what's the sales pitch? The sales pitch is independence. No limitations. You're limited in here. Confining, out there, you can do whatever you want. You're going to die? Yeah, but you can do whatever you want. He says, this was the Yetzer Hara of Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon had everything. The one thing he didn't have is he didn't get to decide. You go to a teenager and he says, listen, you know, don't do that. He says, you know, Dad, listen to me. If you wouldn't have said anything, I wouldn't have done, because it's not good for me. But now that you tell me, I'm going to do it anyway, just to show you. I can do whatever I want. That's the same Yetzer Hara. How is this with a Kabbal Torah? Let's put you through years of Avdus. You learn how to submit. So you learn how to submit to Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. You can't get Geula until you overcome this Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara of Adam Rishon. Because that's the whole purpose of Matan Torah, is to overcome that Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is this deep, means the most primordial Yetzer Hara which exists inside of us, is to be able to exist and say, I am my own independent being. That's the most primordial Yetzer Hara that we have. We want to exist. We feel that submitting to Kadosh Baruch Hu is obliterating our existence. Submitting to somebody else is obliterating our existence. Because then I'm not me anymore. I'm totally in somebody else. And I don't want to do that. I want to be me. I want to exist. That's the most basic Yetzer Hara that we have. That Yetzer Hara is a sheker. It's death, Batson. When you're all by yourself, you're nobody. When you submit to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you're part of the Russian existence, which is eternal. So the matter says that after 120 years, a person is brought to Shemayim, and you're asked, Himata es Kanecho, have you made your Kadosh Baruch Hu your Melech? Himata es Chavirecho, have you made your Chavir your Melech? Have you submitted to somebody else? Have you learned that the goal of life is not about you? How you could be your own independent existence, but yes, submit to somebody else. And that's what's going to give you the right to be part of a greater reality, which is real. Chaisel is never destroyed. The Tzibra that Lord makes. You might be destroyed, but if you're part of the Tzibra, you're not going to. Can you become part of the Tzibra? That the Samina of Nosvel and Chaveiro is that Mita of, it's not about me. I take myself out of the picture. It's mamash the exact opposite. And the Yetzer Hara is, I don't want to submit to somebody else. I don't want to see the world through somebody else. I want to see it with my own eyes. I want to decide. I want to be the boy, the person who's in charge. Of the whole world? No, my own life. Don't tell me what to do. So the person says, okay, so what, you know, so we say it to Kadosh Baruch Hu also. Listen, I do turn to the mitzvah. At some point, I need my own space. you know, I just don't push. The Marsha says, so what are you saying? So you're out of Marishan. And what's pushing you? I need to feel my own. Some of my Dalai Lama is, I'm the boss.